Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of the Healthcare Maze. My name is Mike McLafferty, and I have over 30 years' experience in the healthcare industry. Today's episode, we're going to start a discussion about medical debt. A recent Forbes article indicated that 50% of Americans carry medical debt, and 57% of Americans owe medical debt of at least $1,000. A couple of things here that, as a summary for medical debt, before we get into some of the details, medical debt is unique in that it's usually connected to health-related circumstances, and a lot of times these circumstances can't be predicted or controlled. When medical bills go unpaid, they're often sold to debt collectors and can be reported to credit bureaus. If the debt is reported to a credit bureau, debt can hurt a person's credit score, which lenders, employers, utilities, and others use to gauge financial reliability. The medical bills can also become a debt when paid with loans, and that unfortunately may accrue higher costs than the original bill because of interest. How does a medical bill become a medical debt? An unpaid medical bill follows the path to debt, like many other types of bills. However, again, it's unique in the sense that it is some sort of a health-related circumstance that you normally can't control. An accident, an insurance claim denial, which we'll get into some discussion of the complexity shortly of medical billing. Even a surprise medical bill, where you got a bill from a provider that either you weren't expecting or in an amount you didn't expect. And just normal circumstances, people getting ill from, certainly right now with COVID as a good example, which could lead to other types of illnesses, things that you hadn't planned for. If a person doesn't pay a medical bill, then the healthcare provider, that's typically, for instance, the doctor, nurse practitioner who is servicing you, they'll attempt to collect the money either directly, meaning that they'll go to you as the patient, or they may send your bill to a contracted bill collector. If your healthcare provider considers your bill past due, it's usually because you haven't paid it on time or you refuse to arrange for some sort of a payment plan. On average, hospitals and healthcare providers usually expect to receive payment within 90 to 100 days of billing a patient. Within 90 to 180 days of the bill going out to a patient. However, under law, there is no defined amount of time that a provider must wait before considering a bill past due. We're going to talk briefly now about a debt that has been turned over to collections. First, I wanted to talk about the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. And this covers how and when a third-party debt collector can contact you as the debtor. It also sets limits on who else the debt collector is allowed to contact. And if a debt collector violates this act, you as the debtor can sue them in state or federal court for damages and legal fees within 1 year of whenever the violation took place. This act doesn't protect debtors from those who are attempting to collect a personal debt. If you owe money to your healthcare provider and the provider tries to collect debt from you, that person who's trying to collect the debt directly from you is not a debt collector under terms of this act. This act only applies to third-party debt collectors, those who work typically for a debt collection agency. Also, there are typically five major things that a debt collector cannot do under law as part of this act. They can't pretend, for example, that they work for a government agency. They cannot threaten to have you arrested. They cannot publicly shame you. They certainly can't try to collect a debt you do not owe. Now, one of the reasons that can happen is that a lot of times people's debts are sold and then resold to various collection agencies. And in the process of this going from, let's say, one agency to another, sometimes information is not actually transferred over accurately. So someone could actually reach out to you and try to collect a debt that you really don't owe. And lastly, and very importantly, a debt collector is not allowed to harass you. Now, what they're not permitted to do under the harassment section is they can't threaten you with violence or harm. They're not allowed to use obscene or profane language. They can't call you repeatedly. They can't call you before 8 a.m. or after 9 p.m. unless you give them permission. They can't call you at work if you forbid it in writing. So if you send something in writing to a collection agency, which would certainly, if you do that, we would recommend some sort of a return receipt arrangement so that you have something signed from the agency that they received it, but then they can't call you at work. And then as far as the collector trying to contact you directly, you can actually put in writing you don't want them to contact you directly, but only your attorney. So if you have retained an attorney to assist you, you can have all the calls go to your legal firm. So again, there are, under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, there are procedures, standards that individuals who are working for debt collection agencies must follow as part of trying to collect the debt from you. Credit scores. An unpaid medical bill can be reported to a credit bureau at any point after the bill is issued. I'll tell you, with my experience in the industry, most healthcare providers would prefer to deal with you directly. And if you're in a position, which a lot of people are, where you can pay the debt off immediately, healthcare providers will offer you a payment plan. And I've even been associated with different physician organizations that after someone has made an effort to pay over a period of time, let's say for 12 months, and if there was still any debt that was due, a lot of times some of those practices will just extinguish the balance of the debt, which again opens up the door also to negotiation, which we'll talk about shortly. Healthcare provider organizations are also interested in trying to come up with a dollar amount that you think and they think is fair. And again, that can be put on some sort of a payment plan. It's the last option for healthcare providers is to take a debt, turn it over to a third party, because, you know, they will only get a certain percentage of that money that, if it even does get collected. And the reason they only get a certain percentage is because they have to pay the debt collection agency, typically a commission, on whatever they do find. Not surprising, and most of you know that, you know, a credit report for an individual certainly can get hurt if there's unpaid medical bills on their credit score. And this could certainly impact you getting credit going forward. Just want to talk briefly about good versus bad debt. I know probably a lot of you listening are thinking, how could debt possibly be good? But from a business point of view, someone who is borrowing to help, for example, maybe build up their wealth with, you know, because they need some extra money for investments. They're putting money down, or from a debt point of view, to get a mortgage let's say, a student loan for someone who wants to improve their position initially educationally, but in the long term economically, and someone who has a small business and they're looking to, you know, expand the business or hire new people, additional sites, getting additional debt in that form. Those are some examples of good, and they're also secured type businesses. That what that usually means is there's some sort of asset values backing up the loan. Bad debt, which is considered unsecured and higher cost, has to do with medical debt, as we're discussing, car title loans, and so-called payday loans, where people are looking to get funds quickly after making a payment of some percent as soon as their paycheck is cleared. In that bad debt, potentially, and this can go either way, is credit card debt. I mean, credit card debt, if you run up significant amounts of it with very high interest and it's becoming difficult to repay, that would be considered bad. On the other hand, people who use credit cards and are able to make payments fairly quickly, maybe even as the after the initial 30 days, that actually significantly improves their credit scores. So credit card debt can be one or the other. We're really talking here with medical debt situations, unfortunately, of people who have to go to their credit cards in a lot of cases to pay off their bills. One of the interesting things that studies have found is that when it comes to medical debt, it doesn't always reflect somebody's true credit overall. In fact, except in a lot of cases, what the U.S. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau found, half of people with medical collection issues otherwise had a very good credit history. And again, this is more of a situation of a unexpected or uncontrolled debt that came on an individual or a family. Again, we'd always recommend if that happens that you try to work directly with the healthcare provider so that hopefully you can avoid the debt going to a collection agency. We've already talked about loans to pay medical bills. It turns out that most people are using their credit cards as a quick way to get a loan. Some people are checking out second mortgages on their homes. And again, these are obviously very difficult situations that people are dealing with. We talked about how unpredictable these situations are. One of the things that's really important, and we've talked about this in previous episodes on this podcast, is that everyone should make an attempt to get some health insurance coverage. Most people have health insurance through their employers, but for those who aren't able to do that, you do have the opportunity to go through either a federal or state level approach based on the Affordable Care Act to get some sort of coverage. And depending on your income levels, it may also be a situation where you can get some subsidized premiums. We'd always recommend as a first step, healthcare.gov, if you're having trouble getting health insurance from your employer. That site or a site like that is sponsored by your state will usually give you an opportunity to get some sort of subsidies for your premiums. The other thing that can be a little confusing with healthcare is the price of it isn't always clear. For two reasons, a lot of people think the price of healthcare is their premiums, but there's also various cost-sharing issues that come up. Probably the most famous is deductibles. There are also co-pays, and there are also what's called co-insurance, where your insurance company will pay X percent of a bill, and you have to pay the balance percentage of it. Again, in previous episodes, we talked about not always trying to get a plan that has the lowest set of premiums. If you do get ill, you'll find out typically that the overall cost with those plans is higher than even one or two levels up with the cost of premiums. One of the other things that's going to be helpful starting January 1st is that the No Surprises Act has passed on a federal level, And there are a number of states also that have No Surprises Act. But this will be an opportunity, especially for individuals who are uninsured or self-pay, to better understand what the cost is going to be for any services that they need as part of their treatment plan for whatever the diagnosis was from their healthcare provider. I won't go into a lot of details on this, but people in the healthcare industry understand that medical billing, and that's basically the bills that go from your healthcare provider, your doctor, your nurse, out to, let's assume you have insurance, to your insurance company. It can be fairly complicated. A lot of times there are mistakes that are made on the bills that go out. These bills that go out are referred to in the industry as claims. And because of those mistakes, sometimes the insurance company won't approve payment of that bill right away, could delay it somewhat until whatever mistakes on the bill gets cleared up. The other issue which can happen is your doctor is totally convinced you need a service, you need a certain procedure. You go have that done. Again, assuming you have insurance, your bill goes out to the insurance company, and the medical officer in the insurance company reviews your claim and decides that it was not medically necessary and refuses to pay. This again could cause problems. A lot of times those claims get appealed, and there's a fairly high percentage of those claims through appeal that end up getting paid, but this delays money coming into your healthcare provider, and again is a good reason for you to keep in contact with that provider during this process to better understand what you need to do to help your provider get him or her paid. A lot of times you as a member in your insurance company have a lot more leverage than you realize in convincing the insurance company to pay your provider. If you're someone who is, again, self-insured or uninsured, then I think you're going to find starting this calendar year that the No Surprises Act is really going to help you better understand the cost that you face. And again, I would strongly recommend that even if you're young and you're healthy, that you go and try to get insurance, even if it's through, again, the healthcare.gov opportunity. I will tell you that in 2021, millions of people have gone on to that site and gotten some sort of, not just coverage, but also got some subsidies to help them pay for their premiums. Again, you can't control when you may need health coverage, and because of that, that is something that insurance as a product was made for, things that are completely out of your control and unexpected. We're going to stop this episode at this point, giving you kind of the ABC basics of medical debt. The next episode, we're going to focus on what can you do if you can't pay off your debt, give you some ideas of how to approach that. Again, thanks for listening to this episode. We value your comments. You can reach us at the email address of the Healthcare Maze. That's M-A-Z-E, the Healthcare Maze, one word, @gmail.com. Thank you, and we look forward to speaking with you next time.